Vivis. Hi, everyone. My name is Martha Hassel, and you're listening to my podcast, Dichos. Hi, everyone. Hola, hola a todos. Muchísimas gracias por estar conmigo hoy. If you're returning, you know, welcome back. If this is your first time, welcome to a new episode of Dichos. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you enjoy the stories. Listen, cuento y comparto con ustedes muchas historias de mi vida personal. Y a veces son muy difícil para mí compartir, pero pues a la misma vez también lo hago con mucho gusto porque I know that it can help someone out there who's maybe going through the same thing or who has had a similar experience. That being said, I know that it's been a while since I've last recorded y me tienen que disculpar por eso. Yo sé que a veces I go through these little, you know, kind of MIA moments, pero pues la cosa es que también me cuesta mucho reflexionar y come up with, you know, stories that I would want to share with you, porque no quiero decir cualquier historia. Obviamente I want to put out content that I think will be beneficial to you and will be helpful to you all. Obviously I just don't want decirles cualquier historia, verdad, porque pues esto no es, por más que les digo los chismes míos personales, digo, no es tampoco por decir un canal de YouTube donde cada rato tengo que poner una historia personal, you know, just for the clicks. I want this to be beneficial to you, and I want this to be of added value, and I want this to be maybe a lesson learned, because that is the whole essence of Dichos. For me, Dichos has been an integral part of my life. Me ha ayudado a kind of, you know, guide me in the right direction. Y eso es lo que yo quiero con este podcast para ustedes. Obviamente, la gente que sí se ha comunicado conmigo me han dicho que sí les ha ayudado bastante o que pueden, you know, they can relate to it. And even the guys, you know, who have kind of reached out to me say, you know, thank you so much for putting this out there porque, you know, you get to see things from a different perspective. Especially cuando se trata de relaciones y le puedes ver de la perspectiva de una mujer, porque obviamente los hombres no saben lo que estamos pensando. O no, la mitad del tiempo ellos no saben lo que estamos pensando, obviamente no son adivinos y of course we have to kind of put it out there and maybe, you know, may shine some light on some bad habits that both of us have, you know, as a woman and as a man, but that's what, you know, this podcast is for, to kind of help you shine light on these aspects in your life that kind of maybe need a little bit of revision or a review. So that being said, I'm back. Muchísimas gracias por ser tan paciente conmigo. Obviamente me tomé un mental break, un poquitito de un mental break. Tengo muchas cosas así como en mi cabeza donde, you know, you get into a crossroads in life donde que las decisiones son decisiones que te van a impactar tu vida, así que quieres tomar ese tiempo para reflexionar. To make sure that you are making the correct decision and to kind of, you know, step back and, you know, reanalyze just everything, your path, your goals, your dreams, you know. Porque obviamente estaba pensando, y últimamente estuve pensando en esto porque me acuerdo que cuando acababa de graduarme del colegio, de la universidad, yo tenía sueños completamente diferentes. Yo no tenía planeado trabajar en lo que estoy trabajando hoy. Yo tenía planes en trabajar en otro aspecto, en otra parte de comunicaciones. But the opportunities opened up and I ended up where I ended up. Obviamente las puertas se abren y no vas a you're not gonna let an opportunity go, right? And so I did just that and this is where the road took me. And so I'm coming to a part of my life donde I'm entering a new chapter in life. And I'm getting closer to, you know, my 40s. Y obviamente yo he tenido long-term goals y short-term goals. Y long-term goals, you know, yo sé exactamente lo que quiero para mí, obviamente. Porque pues son cosas que es más fácil imaginarse and envision, right? Pero the short-term goals, that's where kind of gets complicated for me. Porque son todo tiene que ver con los detalles. Todo tiene que ver con cómo llegas allí, you know, how you go from A to step C, you know. And sometimes, you know, you just don't know how to connect the dots. And you know what you want, what you would want, but you have to realize that, you know, the short-term goals is going to take a lot of risk. And with risk comes a lot of failure. It also comes a lot of, you know, opportunities. Así que, I've kind of been in that crossroads in my life. And then, you know, I'm trying to evolve as a person in my career. Quiero crecer en lo que hago. Me encanta aprender, así que siempre estoy como en esa mentalidad donde quiero aprender todo lo que pueda, todo lo que es posible, ser creativa, you know, learn the new things. Y por eso a veces me tengo que, I have to be self-taught, you know, porque trabajo en un non-profit. Y si saben de los non-profits, no tienen muchos como recursos, así que, o mucho apoyo, ¿verdad? Así que cuando quieres aprender algo and you want to stay up to date, you kind of have to do it on your own. Y es por eso que es que tomo mucho tiempo de no hacer los podcasts a veces porque me estoy dedicando a otras cosas como, you know, just kind of evolving as a person in my career. Pero pues, that being said, Dichos is definitely something really, really dear to my heart. And so this week I wanted to share something with you that had to deal with plans, you know. Los planes que hacemos nosotros, porque I know that graduation week was just around the corner. So many people have graduated, and I have so many people que me han preguntado, pues, ¿cómo es que llegaste donde llegaste, Marta? ¿Cómo es que, you know, you ended up working in television? I have so many people who reach out to me, gente, estudiantes graduados o estudiantes que todavía están, you know, en la escuela estudiando. Que me han preguntado, pues, ¿cómo es que I can get an internship? ¿Cómo es que, you know, you decided, you know, you wanted to go into this field? Do you like this field? Et cetera, et cetera. I recently joined an organization that kind of goes around and mentors young Hispanic Latinos, you know. And so, kind of, you know, painting this picture of opportunities for them. Porque siendo hispano y siendo first generations, a veces se nos hace más difícil de graduar as opposed to other people. And it's just because the circumstances are against us, you know, already stacked against us. A veces, you know, we are the caretakers. We are the caregivers, you know. We have to, like, kind of deal with sometimes struggle, you know, the everyday living expenses or helping your parents or just not having the support system there. Or even not just talking about education in general as a household, you know, porque it's not in the forefront half the time, you know, of a family unit. At least in Mexico, para mí no era así. Digo, no fue hasta que llegué aquí con mi papá que viví con él que él me inculcó así como que la educación es todo. Pero pues en la Ciudad de México, cuando vivía con mi mamá, pues era más como ayudarle a la familia, you know, trabajar lo más que puedas, aunque tuviera chica, ¿verdad? Porque ya te ponen a trabajar desde niños. Entonces, like, it was a completely different role for me, you know, that I had in Mexico City. It's a completely different role here in San Antonio for me. My role had changed, and so my focus shifted onto education, and I learned that education can be a different way out of poverty. And so I wanted to talk a little bit more and expand a little bit more about the Dicho this week. And the whole, you know, how it comes to play and how the decision can impact your life. Y a veces how we deal as Latinos, you know, trying to struggle with the family unit, con nosotros mismos, con las dudas, with the success, the failures, and everything that comes between it. So stay tuned for the Dicho of the Week, and I will be right back. Okay, the Dicho of the Week. The Dicho of the Week is: uno pone y Dios dispone. So let me repeat that. Uno pone y Dios dispone. That basically translates to one plans and God unplans. And it's just how it sounds, you know. As if you're a faith-driven person, if you're a spiritual person, then you believe that, you know, God is the creator, our Father, our Savior. And so the final plans are always in His hand. And we all have a blueprint of life that we're to follow, you know, and end up, you know, it's our destiny to end up where we end up. And it all depends on the, you know, where we end up depends on the decisions we make. And so, that being said, I know that, well, first of all, let me just, you know, go back and just re-congratulate everyone who walked the stage last week. Porque les quiero decir que that is a huge, huge, huge accomplishment. I know how hard it is to struggle, a veces, to not have the support, to not have el apoyo, to kind of feel, you know, defeated, y sientes que como que se te viene el mundo y no sabes ni por dónde empezar, you know, y no sabes ni cómo lo vas a hacer, porque, you know, you wake up every day, it's a struggle, tal vez tengas que trabajar, maybe you're a caretaker, maybe you're a mother, maybe you're, you know, a stepmother, maybe you're, I don't know, working three jobs, right? I know I was one of those people. I worked three jobs in college y cómo lo hice, no sé, ¿verdad? Pero, you know, cuando tienes esa intención and you have the desire and the courage to say, sabes que lo voy a hacer, no importa lo que haga, yo lo voy a cumplir. And I just want to say, again, congratulations to all of those, porque yo sé que it was blood, sweat, and tears that got you through life. It was blood, sweat, and tears that helped you walk that stage. And it was blood, sweat, and tears that made you make that decision to even go to school. Porque sabes que como hispanos y como latinos, it's incredibly hard sometimes to find that support and to, you know, have education at the forefront of things, to have it as a priority in life. Porque viniendo de una familia hispana, de una familia latina, a veces como que our focus is centralized more into a woman's role, you know, a very traditional woman's role, que es obviamente casarse, tener hijos, you know, it usually doesn't involve education in any way. I know cuando viví en la Ciudad de México que desde chiquita pues nos inculcan así como ser dama de casa, you know, how to be a housewife. And you learned, you know, from very little, you know, how to, cómo limpiar, cómo planchar la ropa, cómo lavar la ropa, cómo cocinar, you know, like basic everyday survival, you know, skills that you would need. But also how to wait on the man, how to have dinner ready, how to keep the clean house, not porque it benefits you, pero por él, tener la casa limpia para él, you know, tenerle ya su cena, tenerle, like, I mean, it's a completely different, you know, mentality. Entonces, viniendo de ese aspecto, you know, coming from that perspective, it's completely different when you get here. When I got here, my dad was very, very the opposite. My dad me inculcó la educación. This was the first time that I knew how important education can be and how education can be an opportunity and a gateway to get you out of poverty. Yo no tenía eso en mente. My goal was to get married, to have kids, and encontrar a alguien que me compre una casa, que yo sea dama de casa, you know? Because that's how I grew up. And then I came here, and my dad was, sabes que no necesitas ningún hombre que te cuide, you know? I need you to have an education, porque nunca sabes lo que puede pasar en la vida. And if you end up alone, at least you have the tools to help you, you know, form a better life. You don't have to depend on anyone else. And education does that for you. And so he kind of made me see things and turned everything completely different. Turned everything around for me. Y obviamente a mi mamá no le gustaba eso y la familia de México tampoco le gustaba eso porque here I am, you know, a young girl who's just 18, 19, getting out of high school. Ya lista para el colegio, pero en los ojos de ellas, pues lista para el matrimonio. Entonces, I remember it came a time in life where my mom would come from Mexico City and would literally try and marry me off to people. Haz de cuenta que she would see like a, you know, a bachelor, and she would be like, pues esta es mi hija, you know. I don't know how many times I went on dates because of my mother. She set them up. And her goal was to just kind of get me married, you know. So she would see people who would, like, offer, you know, like, they have a ranch or they have their own business. Like, they would put out, like, you know, their best, like, offers on the table. And so she'd be like, well, my daughter is single. You can, you know, maybe possibly date her. Y, you know, tal vez le compres casa y se casen y toda esa cosa, you know. And so I was young, you know, and I had already gone through this mentality of like, sabes que yo no necesito casarme ahorita porque yo me quiero seguir a la escuela, quiero seguir a la universidad. And she didn't like that, you know. So I became kind of like the rebel of the household, the black sheep, you know, the no sé qué le pasa a ella, por qué quiere andar sola. This is how they thought I was a lesbian at some point, porque they did not see me go out with any guys. Y entonces, como que las dudas, por las dudas, siempre me preguntaron, you know, ¿te gustan las mujeres? You know, porque es que nunca te vemos saliendo con un chico o lo que sea. And it was just more because of me, you know, I wanted to focus more on school. Obviously, yo tenía, estaba enfocada en la escuela. I wasn't about that dating life, you know, and I had a goal in mind. I wanted to graduate and I knew what I wanted to do in life. But, you know, como dice el dicho, you know, uno pone, Dios dispone. I had all these goals in mind and I started school out, I started community college out great, with, you know, the support of my brother, the one, my oldest brother, Louis. And that whole year, you know, we went to school, everything was great. But then the following years, when he got murdered, when he, you know, just kind of left this earth, and my whole world came crashing down. Otra vez, you know, I had already gone through that with my dad, and again, my world came crashing down with my brother Louis. Entonces, I went into deep depression, and my goals and my priorities shifted from like education being, you know, on the front burner to education being on the back burner, because my goal was just surviving the every single day, you know, waking up feeling like I have a purpose. I didn't know how to feel that. I didn't know how to wake up and continue to want to live. I would just wake up and robotically do things. Y eso es lo que no sabía cómo, how to break that cycle. Y eso a la misma vez tenía que como tratar lo más que podía de romper eso, porque pues I felt like I was the rock of the family. It's my mother and I, just us two in this household, and someone had to be the strong one. Entonces all of that burden, you know, kind of shifted to me and I carried it on my shoulders, porque obviamente yo no quería que mi mamá sufriera, you know, quería, she had a, just lost her son. And the pain that I felt losing my brother is not the same pain that my mom felt losing her son. It's a completely different loss. Y obviamente le afectó a ella muchísimo más que a mí, porque a mí me afectó demasiado. Imagínate a ella, you know, I can't imagine. I can't even fathom the thought of losing, you know, your son or your daughter, especially having them so, you know, for 30 something years and just kind of one day be gone. It was a completely different world for us, you know, because it went from a household of five, you know, with my dad, my grandma, my brother, myself, and my mom, to a household of two. So you can imagine the shift right there, the energy shift, the vibe, you know. Entonces no sabía ni no sabíamos ni how to survive. We only had one another, and so the only thing we could do is hold on to our faith. Entonces, como les digo, the struggle was real for me. You know, la educación siempre estuvo en mi corazón y siempre supe lo que quería hacer. But I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know how to graduate. I didn't know how to finish a semester, and it all caught up with me. You know, I told you the story once before, you know, in the previous podcast where I got kicked out of community college, and it was rock bottom for me, porque es algo, pues it's embarrassing, you know, to be honest with you, porque community college is, you know, where everyone gets accepted. And the fact that I got kicked out and couldn't re-enroll for another 5 years, or possibly re-enroll for another 5 years, was mind-blowing for me. It was rock bottom, porque yo dije, ¿qué estoy haciendo? ¿Qué estoy haciendo? Digo, yo sé lo que quiero en la vida, y yo sé dónde quiero ir, yo sé dónde, where I want to end up, you know? Y yo sé que debo de hacer esto, yo sé que debo de estar aquí en la escuela, but how do I do it? How do I get through that, you know? La única forma fue tomarlo día por día. Un día a la vez, como dice la canción, and that song, if you've ever heard it, resonates with me so much. un día a la vez, porque it helped me get through some of the darkest times in my life, where my faith was tested huge, like humongously. I didn't know. There was a time when I was angry at God. Yo no sabía cómo les digo. I didn't know how to get from point A to point B. And what helped me get there was one, my faith. Dos, una persona creer en mí. I just needed one person to believe in me. And that person was turned out to be my counselor. My counselor believed in me. And that's all I needed. I needed one person to say, "Sabes que, Marta, I see the potential in you. I see that you really have the potential to go further and to, become something and to have a career." And she did that, porque en la casa yo no tenía el apoyo. They used to make fun of me because what should have been 4 years of college, turned out to be 6 years for me, porque I spent 2 years of my college not doing anything but going to school and not completing a class. Porque I was depressed. Yo no sabía. I was just kind of robotically going to school and not completing classes, and for 2 years straight, I wasted a bunch of time just going through the motions, just going, waking up, going, coming back, going to sleep. Waking up, going, coming back, going to sleep. It was just a repeated cycle. Y era algo como un robot para mí. And during that time, me acuerdo que mi mamá, obviamente, she expected a lot of me because I was not in school as much. She wanted me to start thinking about having kids and getting married. And so this is when I started my first, serious relationship. Whom eventually I got engaged to, who eventually I ended up breaking off the engagement porque I felt in my heart that it's not what I wanted. I was not in love and I was not in a comfortable state of mind, in a comfortable relationship, in a loving relationship. And I've told y'all that story before, it's just, it was a very bad dynamic. And so I think it was all about timing for me, Time is what kind of helped me heal. My faith, having one person who believed in me, time. Y número cuatro is, believe it or not, all the negative comments. All of those negative comments que se burlaban de mí, que decían, pues Marta se va a graduar cuando ya tiene bastón, like, it was a funny thing for them to think that I was in school for so many years and didn't come out with a degree yet, but it was heartening. It was disheartening. It was heartbreaking porque I would come home and just feel like my tías and my aunts and my cousins, and even just distant family members, people who did not even live here in San Antonio, just people like la gente de Mexico, que se burlaban de mí, and they thought it was a joke, like diciéndome, like I agreed with it, like they thought I thought it was funny, and I don't know why they would think that. I didn't think it was funny when they told me that I was gonna graduate, when I'm 80 years old, with the cane. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't see anyone else doing this. I'm the first one in my family, in anyone's family around me, to even attempt to go to college. And instead of having the support system there, I had every reason to fail. And so siempre me acuerdo que even la vecina, que viene siendo my best friend's mother, would also doubt me, because I've told you my situation, where my childhood was great, but my brothers got into trouble. And so in comparison to all of toda la familia del barrio de aquí, the neighborhood, we were like seen as the troublemakers, the worst ones, because it was a predominantly white neighborhood, and we had a bunch of white neighbors. And here are these, you know, Mexicans get, you know, are running from the cops and constantly are getting in trouble and constantly getting their house raided and things like that. So you can imagine just how bad it looked on us. And we were that household. Even though I had a great childhood and my dad did a really good job de tenerme separada de todo eso, I still was considered part of that, you know, because obviously I lived here. And so my best friend's mother had that perception of me. You know, like, Marta comes from this type of family, and she's going to be pregnant by the age of 16, you know, and she's going to have, you know, she's going to be a single mom. And todo lo que oyes de todos los Latinos que dicen, you know, like, she's not going to have a career, like, the worst, right? And I wouldn't, I'm not, not that there's anything bad with obviously being a single mother or having kids at a young age, you know, it's just that in their eyes, that's probably like one of the worst things that could happen because their kids ended up going to college right away. Like, they come from a family donde la educación es super importante. You know, the kids leave the house at the age of 18. Their family unit is not as close, you know, and I come from like a very Mexican traditional family. Imagínate, you know, how do you get them to comprehend that? You don't. Entonces, in their eyes, the statistics that they would hear about the Latinas, young Latinas, was, I was the embodiment of all that, you know. I was the one who was like the face, the poster child for them of what a Mexican girl typically goes through, you know, which is, you know, obviously, you know, getting pregnant and having, you know, being a single mother and, you know, et cetera, not having a career. Entonces, when my best friend's mother told me this, that she thought this of me, it was, no sé cómo les digo, como si fuera almost like someone just took a knife to and just stabbed me in the heart. It was a very huge disappointment for me porque I looked up to her, era alguien con quien yo, you know, me relacionaba, you know, yo le tenía mucha confianza. I used to look up to her and admire her, and for her to think so low of me kind of shot down my confidence level to like the rock bottom, you know. So I have my family against me, I have my best friend's family against me, I have no one, literally nadie está creyendo en me, you know, and everyone's constantly putting pressure on me. Pues, ¿qué vas a hacer con tu vida? Hoy no tienes novio, todavía no tienes novio, todavía no sales, todavía no te casas, todavía no tienes hijos, you know? It was just like that for years. And so when I finally got out of my depression and I went back to college and I graduated with my undergraduate degree with my associates, I wanted to walk the stage because that took me every single piece of strength that I had within me to even finish that associates. And I was determined to continue. Y me acuerdo que cuando I got my associates, it was a huge accomplishment for me porque I had proven not only to them that I could do it, that I could finish, but I proved it to myself more than anything. Que sabes que if you have the desire and you tienes las fuerzas, then you can do it. And so obviously I continued with school, you know, and I continued with my bachelor's and then with my master's. And, you know, just having my master's was like the cherry on top. Porque obviamente I didn't expect to get so far in life. Education-wise, you know, have at least my education career, academic career to kind of advance so far. I never would have envisioned me getting my master's degree. Y cuando eso sucedió, pues, guess who had the last laugh? You know, obviamente nadie ya se burlaba de mí, you know. And everyone was all of a sudden so proud of like, sabes que Marta se graduó and this and that and all this stuff. And so I didn't know how to kind of be okay with that, you know, because yo sé que al principio they were just kind of like not there for me. And towards the end, like, era por interés, you know, like, oh, well, Martha's going to graduate, you know, and she's going to get a good job. And so now, you know, she's going in places in life. And all of a sudden, like, my decisions and my como les digo, my way of thinking was a logical way of thinking. Like, it was no longer a joke anymore. They're like, well, maybe she does know what she wants. Maybe she does know what she's doing. Y entonces, por eso les digo, Dios pone, uno pone y Dios dispone. It doesn't matter, like, what plans. My plans were obviously to finish school within 4 years and go to law school. That was my plan. Did it end up that way? No. I ended up finishing school in 6 years and did not go to law school, but ended up going to get my master's in communications. And so then I ended up working in television, which gets me to, kind of putting yourself out there. And so the question that I que todo el mundo me pregunta es que, how is it that you move forward even with everything is stacked against you, with all the odds stacked against you? How is it that you put yourself out there? Where does the confidence come from? Entonces, lo único que les puedo decir es que you have to have self-confidence. You have to know what your abilities are. Tú, más que nadie, sabes lo que eres capaz de hacer. You know what your limits are. You know that you can, where your boundaries lie. And so you're able to push that you like to, You have to want it. It's very much a mental thing and a very much a heart thing, a mental and a heart thing. Porque I think I use the ammunition of like the self-doubts that other people had about me to kind of, propel me and find that strength to kind of help me move forward. And it was hard for me to do that, pero pues, it was also like kind of easy in a sense, porque I had no other choice. It was like either I let it get to me, dejo que ellos, defeat me, or I, gather my strength, pick myself up, and I proved to myself que sabes que, I am making the right decision, and this is the right decision for me. Nobody else has the right to make a decision for me, más que yo sola. Y que yo sé que esta va a ser mi vida, and whatever decisions and whatever consequences come with the decisions that I made for myself, it's all going to be on me and no one else. Así que I didn't want to leave anything, out of my life plans, knowing that I was going to have regrets. I didn't want to walk away with any regrets, porque eso es lo peor que puedes hacer. You can't be going through life thinking, what if, algún día, o sabes que eso no es para mí. Don't ever think that. Like, para qué piensas, like, that's not for me. It is for you. It can be for you if you want it to be for you. And so, me going through my internships, finding, I told you all that story, just finding that ambition within me. Knowing that I was capable of doing this and more, porque yo sé que I did not want to go back to like, living a life of having to go visit people in jail or end up in jail myself. I didn't not want to go back to a life of like, being in drugs or end up a druggie. I did not want to go back to a life of always constantly having the struggle, every single day. And now when I say struggle, it's like being on like government help, like food stamps and stuff like that. Yo sé que eso no es lo que quería para mi vida. Y entonces, like, I made the effort to kind of, change that about me and change everything. And so I knew what I did not want, and that's what helped me find the confidence within myself para seguir adelante. Así que, like I said, even if you have plans and the plans do not work out the way you would want them to work out, doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that you cannot revise the plan. Lo que sí sé es que nada es permanente. Everything is temporary. There is no permanent anything in life. And so, having a permanent thought, negative thought, is what can hinder you. More than anything. So always keep a positive mindset. Always know that, your plans can change, that your direction in life can change. Y sabes que if you have faith and you have spiritual, you know, being about you, pues sigue con eso porque eso te va a ayudar bastante. You know, that's what kind of gives you the strength to continue to wake up every single day and feel like you have a purpose in life. And sometimes our purpose in life is not like right in front of us, but we kind of see it later on. You know, it's revealed to us with time. Entonces les digo, you know, again, congratulations to all the people who graduated. And if you're going through life and you think that you know, you feel defeated and that you can't do anything, don't ever, you know, doubt yourself. Don't ever go through life thinking that, sabes que, it's too late for me. I want you to know que, aunque tú tengas planes, si no se cumplan aquí, it doesn't mean that it can't be accomplished later in life. Así que, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this dicho. Remember que uno pone y Dios dispone. But in the end, it all works out. Let me know if you have any stories that you would like to share, if you have any feedback or comments, and be sure to share this podcast and all the other ones that you can find on iTunes and all the podcast apps as well. And go ahead and follow me on social media. I do more than Instagram more than anything. I'm not on Twitter, but Instagram for sure, so you can follow me on there. And I'd love to hear from you, so I will talk to you later and hopefully have another dicho and another story time coming up next week. Bye. Don't forget that you can follow me on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Dichos Podcast. You cannot miss me, guys. El logo tiene un huevo amarillo. At least that's what it looks like. So you can go ahead and share with your friends, like my posts, slide into my DMs porque me encanta oír las historias de ustedes. And if you have anything to share with me, let me know. Leave some feedback and comments. If you have a dicho in particular that you would like for me to, you know, contar una historia, let me know that as well. Así que go share. Dichos Podcast, Facebook, and Instagram.